Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show, How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend, Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Drive over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. As we are waiting along here, LeBron James watch is going on right now, and so we will talk to the great Anthony Chang of the Miami Herald. Anthony, what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Oh, good, man. You schedule any live streams lately?
No, thankfully I did not do that. I am busy annoying Bill Simmons, though, apparently.
What is that? Do you know that, like, he's all, I think that's like one of those things, like when you start getting him rattled, all of a sudden he's like, this is going to end up just being the worst summer for Boston because LeBron is going to end up in Miami and I'm stuck here with Paul George.
Yeah, a lot of things going in Miami's favor this offseason. But I did wake up today. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, what did we do to you? You know, but hey, it's the Heat-Celtics rivalry, I guess.
Anthony, I'm curious as to, like, what happens to you guys when you're always wrong? We were just talking about this. Bill Simmons, his hot takes all summer have been so inaccurate. At what point do you just, or is it you just want the clicks and you don't care if you're right or wrong?
His audience is still big, so I'm guessing that's all that matters to him, right?
Right.
You know, he has one of the biggest Netflix. It's on Netflix. You have to pay to watch it. So, yeah, it's been off. He's been off this offseason, but people are still watching, I guess.
So, all right, let's go to Monday night. Everybody goes crazy. I saw your tweet. The Heat say that this whole thing was a possibility mistake. That they had a press conference live stream scheduled. But what did you make of it? As you're seeing this all unfold, did you think there was smoke to it? Because I thought it was fake at first. I had to see like 9 screenshots. I'm like, nah, that's not real.
Yeah. It's funny. I was watching a show with my wife, actually, and it was the start of the episode. And I see this on Twitter, and I'm like, this can't be real. I just assumed it wasn't real. And then as the episode goes on, and I'm like, she's like, what are you looking on your phone? I'm like, I think there's... this might be real. I'm like, I wouldn't tell her what was going on. She was kind of wondering why I was on my phone so much. And then I realized this is real, right? But my first thing was, this is a mistake. It just doesn't make sense for it to be real, knowing how the business works of why would the Heat schedule a press conference a week later? I mean, this news gets out quick, right? This is not going
right.
It's not, if they know this, if a social media employee knows this, we're going to know this, right, for the most part. So it really didn't make sense. I thought it was just like most journalists covering this story. I have a story written about, you know, LeBron picking the Heat. I have a story written of LeBron picking another team. Could someone mistakenly post that for the Miami Herald? I guess so. It's in the system. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but it could, right? So you obviously try to, it's unfortunate that this happened. It was posted or it was live. It made live by mistake. But yeah, my first instinct was this is unfortunate error.
Just the way news gets out and how they plan things, you just saw it was like, this is not even how they do stuff.
Yeah, it just, it doesn't really make sense for the Heat to know that far in advance. And with the way LeBron does things, right? The Heat found out in 2010 that LeBron was coming to Miami like a few minutes before he announced his decision. The Cavaliers found out he was going back to Cleveland in 2014, a few minutes before he made, you know, that Lee Jenkins article story came out. The Lakers found out he was going there in, you know, whatever that was, 2018, a few minutes before that was made public too. So it just, LeBron keeps things very close to the vest until he's ready for the world to know. So it didn't make sense to me that the Heat would know. They would know he's coming to Miami. They're gonna create a template for the press conference on Monday, but we wouldn't know. That just didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, okay, but here's
go, do your thing.
Here's
Tobin.
The thing, though.
Do your thing.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is why I don't think this is like the other times. And the reason I don't, first of all, he's on. There's no extra thing anybody's really waiting on, like, unless we believe that whole he's trying to get Anthony Davis traded to one of these teams types of things. I don't know, man. Something seemed to change in the vibes after the Giannis press conference, where Pat's dropping the whole land the other plane thing, and then you see the betting lines are all changing. So while, like, yes, I do believe LeBron keeps things close to the vest, I also think there's something to, like, the commissioner annoyed him. Maybe this was a decision they thought they were going to make in the weekend, because we all thought it was happening after the World Cup, and now he's having a spite week. So now everybody has to keep that. Plans seem to have maybe changed on the date. So I don't know. I think all this stuff is like innocent. Like, I don't think that there's like some nefarious thing behind anything here, but I could see this being one of those things of being like, hey, we're putting this off because I'm not letting Adam Silver have the word on when I'm making my decision. I'll make my decision when I want to make my decision. And so Pat's like, all right, we'll keep it under wraps. Rich Paul's very chummy about Pat Riley on the podcast this week. I don't know, man. There's just been a lot of stuff billowing over the last few days.
Every day.
What?
Every
I'm just day. Telling you, dude. That's how I feel.
He's smiling like I smile at you. Bless your heart. I want to pinch your cheek.
That's how I feel. I can't help how I feel.
Anthony, this is his thing. And I'm like, hey, LeBron has been a master at controlling every aspect of his life.
Yeah.
Right? And he'll go on and say, somebody knew. Somebody. And I'm like, no, dude. He's really good at that. And if it were true, I'm not saying he would change his mind, but he would really be pissed off if it leaked before he had a chance to release it when he wanted to.
Sure, sure. And I think, Tobin, maybe you're right. Maybe he was ready to make a decision and Adam Silver's comments bothered him and he's like, I'm going to delay this. And that may be the case. I don't know. I don't know what LeBron is thinking at this point. But I don't think the Heat would know. I just don't think he would have informed the Heat already. I think if that's the case, LeBron knows, his camp knows, but the Heat don't know. So I think it's the Heat preparing for the possibility of it happening. This is not a secret. The Heat think they have a chance at LeBron. Like, that's obvious, right? So that's not news, but that's them being prepared for the scenario. Is it strange that it was a week before that they made the video? Yeah, that is a little strange, but I really believe this was a very innocent mistake. It's just unfortunate that it happened. And I will say this, like, I agree the vibes changed, Tobin, after that press conference. But how much of that is because of the prevalence now of these prediction markets and all that stuff, where if we didn't have that these days, maybe it would feel different right now. But the fact that the Heat are such clear favorites has really changed, like, the tone of everything.
It definitely does. Dude, prediction markets are super volatile. Like, and the thing is, they're only volatile about that stuff because, you know, like, I'm doing reads for Kalshi on the station. And, like, most games and stuff, like, that stuff doesn't swing that much. But rumors, oh, my God, they're going, like, it's a roller coaster at all points.
Right.
The fact that on sports books it started swinging a little bit down, that they're a little bit more reasonable with that stuff. So I don't know if they're trying to keep up with the Joneses or what. That also was like, it opened my eyes a little bit because, yes, Kalshi, and they can definitely be swayed by rumors because people are going out there. They're not bookmakers. That's the thing, is those things are swung a lot by people. But I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. If they don't get LeBron, I know you did a piece on this week. What's the stuff that's maybe still out in the ether for the Heat to fill out the roster? Because the roster is not complete. Is it a DeRozan? Is it a Bradley Beal? Like, what are the final pieces that they may sniff around?
Yeah, I mean, you name two of them, right? DeRozan, Bradley Beal. There's always Klay Thompson. The Heat have interest in Klay, but yeah, you know, that's a little bit more complicated because he's under contract with Dallas. He would need a buyout from Dallas at some point. That might happen, right? I mean, Dallas is going to try to trade him, but if they don't find a trade, they could buy him out, you know, late in the offseason. I wouldn't be surprised by that. Russell Westbrook is a name that has come up. There's Gabe Vincent who's available. Like, I think the one thing that caught my attention on Thursday, the day of the press conference, was Pat saying that they, well, this was at the press conference and also with his interview with Dan Le Batard, they need a playmaker. And everyone says they need shooting. And I do think they need, you know, another shooter that would be good for them, especially with Giannis and Bam to provide space. But they do need a table setter. And that's why LeBron would fit so perfectly with Miami on this roster. I don't know if there's not another player really like him out there that's still available. I mean, DeRozan can do some of that. He averaged 4 or 5 assists a game last few years, so there's some, you know, he can do some of that. But LeBron
is more of a two guard, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's more of a two guard, but he can have the ball in his hands. He could draw fouls. He could draw double teams and pass out of double teams. Like he has that in his game. But LeBron is one of the best passers, you know, in the league, obviously. So the Heat, it's crazy to say because LeBron is 41 years old. But they kind of need LeBron to complete this roster this season. They really do, because there's not really another option like him out there.
What was the most? What was the thing going back to that press conference that like stood out about Giannis? Like, were the things that we were like, either personality wise or goals or anything that just you found the most interesting out of last Thursday?
He was charming. Yeah. I was like, this guy. I mean, I didn't.
What an accent!
I obviously.
Oh boy.
Go he ahead. Won the say press it. Conference. I'll say
it,
that.
Tobin. Say it.
Oh, I love, dude. I love the way he says "shut that." Like I'm like, oh, I love that. Say that again.
Anthony, this is what I do every day.
I hear you guys enough to know. I know, Tobin. I know Leroy, what you deal with. I know what you deal with. Don't you have a fake Goran Dragic? You're gonna do a fake Giannis.
I did a little bit of that yesterday because Hockman was disrespecting Goran. So yeah, he was like, "Brate, you come here, we happy. You know, come to San." You love it. And then I have Niko Jovic's mother as well, but I'm too chicken to do that in front of him at media day.
Okay. That's probably smart. to go back to your question, I think just how hungry he was and how determined he seems to be to win the championship.
It's like he's motivated. A jolt of energy.
Yeah, he's motivated. You could tell like he's coming here to try to win a championship. Almost it's a different circumstance as LeBron in 2010 because Giannis has already won one. But it's almost that same feel of like, where can I go that they're going to put me in the best position to win a title? It might not be the first year, right? But over time, what organization is going to put me in the best position? And it seemed like that's one of the reasons he was attracted to the Heat. So that to me, you know, it's not surprising because it's, you know, he's a superstar still in the prime of his career. Obviously, he wants to win a title. But just how desperate he seemed, how that was that's kind of his number one priority. You mentioned like, that's why I'm here. That caught my attention for sure last week.
You think Spo's going to be in a better spot this year? Obviously you get an MVP, like that's big, but like I feel like he fought the good fight last year of like young team, I'm going to change the offense, I'm going to try and make the most of it, but this feels more like a team that's cut of his cloth, like veterans, defense, grizzled. Like I feel this feels more in the identity of the head coach.
Yeah, definitely. It's a more experienced team, right? It's going to lean on its defense. I mean, this should be a top five defense. Unless there are injuries, I don't see how this is not a top five defense. They're going to be really good on the end of the court. You have players you could rely on night in and night out. You know, that Giannis is going to get you 25 a night at least. Bam is going to do what he does, 20 and 10 pretty much every night. Like, you have these guys that you can rely on. And again, last year was one of the youngest teams that he'd have had in a long time.
Right.
So I definitely think this is, I don't want to say it's going to be an easier season for Eric Spoelstra, but he definitely has more at his disposal this year.
You think
he has more guys he can rely on? Yeah, I do. I think it takes some of the pressure off of Bam.
Yes.
Right. Where he's not, we've seen it when Jimmy was here. Bam is best as a number two offensive option. Those were his best seasons. Right.
Right.
And I think that is going to help him being the number two guy instead of, you know, the go-to guy on offense like he was pretty much last year for most of last season. Having Giannis attracting extra defenders and all that, like that's going to help him. And also defensively, how much did Bam have to do defensively last year just to cover ground for other guys? Like having Giannis next to him,
play the music.
That is gonna unlock a lot.
No more LA twins.
Yes.
And Tyler, can I ask you like real quick? I understand like everybody's frustration with Tyler, right? But nobody has ever said that Tyler was a bad player. The problem was he was never available. Why is he so bitter when he leaves, when he should understand that, yeah, nobody has ever, ever, ever said anything about your ability to play basketball?
Yeah, I think some of it has to do with just being constantly in trade rumors. And I know that's the business, right?
Right.
But I think some of that, you know, every offseason dealing with that and, you know, seeing fans say, oh, I hope they get Damian Lillard, which means Tyler's going to be traded. I hope they get Kevin Durant, which means Tyler's going to be traded. I hope they get James Harden. Well, that means, you know, Tyler's going to be traded. So I think some of that added to some of the bitterness on the way out. But yeah, I agree. It is unfortunate because Tyler is, I know some fans might not want to hear this, but he's one of the best two guards in Heat history. You just look at what he accomplished here.
Right.
He had a very successful Heat tenure. You look at where he was drafted. He exceeded expectations. He made an all-star team. He was a sixth man of the year. It is unfortunate with the way it ended. You would hope that over time things kind of, you know, thaw out and we're able to look back with some positivity at his time here. But yeah, I think some of that is just the trade. All the trade rumors he was a part of, it was kind of relentless for him ever since he was drafted.
I found it, and it was interesting because, you know, I know it was reported by you and Barry about the whole maybe like hostility towards Bam because he was taken care of. But the thing I found always strange about that with him, Jimmy, I kind of got a little bit more because he was, you know, that's Jimmy. Like, that's his personality. But it's not like Bam's contract kept Tyler from getting his contract. Him not playing kept him from getting his contract. So I just...
Right.
I think that's just a strange perception to have all of it. Like, I know everybody wants to make their bread and want to be secure in things, but I find it weird that any hostility was held towards Bam, and I think that's probably why it got as crazy as it did in Vegas, because I think he probably like, what did I do? Like, you know, like, right. I didn't take anything away from you. You didn't play.
Yeah, and Bam vouched for him all the time, right?
Like,
Bam always was defending him and supporting him. And I think that was probably why Bam, you know, this is just guessing here because we haven't talked to Bam since this incident. But I would imagine that's why Bam was so upset. It's like, what did I do? You know, what did I do? Like, and you know this, Tobin, just from being around the team, we don't see them 24/7, but just by being around them, Bam and Tyler were close. Like, they seemed like they had a pretty good relationship.
Right.
So I'm sure that kind of just seeing that on social media, Bam was kind of surprised probably and was like, what is this? Like, why are you doing this to a random fan that we don't know and you're telling him this, talking about me? So I would imagine that's what kind of bothered Bam the most, just that that's human nature. But yeah, it is surprising because those two guys did seem to have a pretty good relationship during their time together.
What did you feel of the end of Love Island? Did you like the season or did you think it was garbage?
I actually thought it was a fine season. At first, I was like, it's a little boring. But as soon as Casa Amor started, that's when things got good.
Things got good. All right.
From there, I would say it was I will even say this might be a hot take, but I think it was overall better than last season.
I actually would agree. I think there is something to it because I think last year was like a one-person band. I think it was. I will say, though, if you're looking for something to binge – pretty strong season of Love Island UK on Disney Plus. So you might want to throw that on once LeBron finishes his decision. You can relax. What?
Love Island.
I'm telling you, the UK season was top.
You're not a fan, Leroy? You're not a fan?
No.
He's gonna be because he's held up on arm surgery right now. He's gonna need stuff to binge.
You're gonna get into it. You're gonna get hooked. Just watch a few episodes. You'll be hooked.
No, my wife watches it, and I out of in my periphery, and I'm like, this is stupid.
Not for me.
This is stupid. This is stupid. Like it's called Love Island and you got people crying. Right? Like, are you serious? You've been together 12 seconds. You're crying over something. Like, there's no tears in Love Island.
you cry with love. I mean, love is, you know,
not in 3 minutes
of emotions.
That's like going to a club, having a couple of drinks, and then the girl would leave with you. You cry.
We had Heat Island.
Come on.
We had Heat Island in Las Vegas. Got very contested.
Las Vegas was interesting this year. This offseason has been interesting for a lot of different reasons. So it's definitely kept all of us busy. And here we are. Dolphins camp is about to start in a week, and we're still talking about the Heat and LeBron. So we'll see.
Anthony, appreciate it, man. Go follow Anthony Chang's work at the Miami Herald. Always appreciate your time, man, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
All righty.
Appreciate it, buddy. We will take a break. Back after this.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.